This is Honest Reporting with Simon Plosker, keeping an eye on media bias and fake news.
Deceptively cheerful backtrack there. Hello, Simon Plosker.
Hi there. Yes, indeed. It's not been the most cheerful couple of days here.
No, it hasn't been. Simon, did the world's mainstream media ignore recent events in Israel?
I don't know about ignore, but they certainly didn't cover it with as much. They didn't cover as much as they have done in recent times. It was interesting. I was actually with a bunch of journalists yesterday, and one of them said to me, and I'm not going to mention which media outlet this is, but she said she pitched something, she sent something to her editor in the States, in the United States, and the editor eventually got back and said, not interested. And, you know, she said she was appalled. And, you know, we were discussing perhaps what might have happened here is we've seen a couple of flare-ups over the last several months, and they tended to die down quite quickly. It may have been that this time some media may have been thinking, well, you know, this is going to be done and dusted within a few hours. There's just no point giving it much coverage at all. However, I would say that, you know, 460 rockets does merit coverage. It really does, because this was a major, major escalation.
Very interesting. So you took a trip down south.
Yes, I did. I went with a bunch of about a dozen journalists, and we actually went to the scene in Ashkelon where that poor guy was killed in a rocket attack on his apartment block.
Yes.
And I must say, I actually found the whole thing quite shocking. It was a bit of a media circus when we got there. Obviously, a lot of journalists, you know, foreign and Israeli as well, security services there, obviously. But there was a whopping great hole in the front of the building. And we actually were allowed to go inside the four-story apartment block. The police spokesperson took us in there. And it was really quite disturbing because, you know, we're climbing the stairs and all the doors to these apartments are open. And we were able to go in and look inside. And, you know, there was holes in the walls, you know, that you could literally look over into the street. And people's belongings literally strewn all over the place.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm walking in there and there's this crunching noise underneath. And it's kind of, there's a mixture of, you know, broken glass, shrapnel. But then there's also, you know, people's belongings, you know, stuff that people own. And that was, I found that really, I felt like I was almost desecrating the place because, you know, there were still things that people owned and perhaps they may be able to retrieve afterwards, you know, when they come back. But what was worse, I mean, I actually, even the things like, there's a bicycle lying in the middle of the room.
Yes.
I mean, I remember just really, you know, strange things like seeing a red nail varnish bottle under my foot, you know, completely intact. And, you know, parts of the various apartments, some of them have been devastated, like, you know, the kitchen's blown out. And further away, the living room, you know, the TV is still there with the sofa, almost untouched. So it was very, very bizarre. But I went up to the fourth floor, and up there, this was where this Palestinian man had died and also a woman had been injured. And there you could actually see bloodstains on the wall, for example. So, you know, not the most pleasant of things at all. And you realize as well that in Ashkelon, you have 30 seconds to react when the siren goes off. And this was in a poor neighborhood of Ashkelon where they don't have safe rooms in their apartments. And all Israeli buildings, new buildings, under Israeli law, have to have these reinforced rooms. But these apartment blocks didn't have them. And to get out of there in 30 seconds into the public bomb shelter, which was still relatively nearby, but not nearby enough. You know, I'm trying to think, you know, this is a poor neighborhood. There were elderly people around, you know, people that necessarily couldn't move that fast. And obviously, in this case, 30 seconds was not enough. And there were people milling around from the neighborhoods, and you could sense the anger that they'd been kind of left in that position, that they don't have enough protection. And it was very, very sad.
That is sad. And this is a much longer conversation. There's so many things that I want to, I think Simon's gone.